The third time is not the charm. For the third time, the FCC tells a 10-figure robocaller to pay up. And the FCC takes action in Key West that brings us one baby step closer to an LPFM window. All that and more coming up right now.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Wireless Wednesday, June 7, 2023. We start off today's podcast like we did yesterday's, but much bigger. We currently have an update on the dinger that is currently on the REC Dinger's Top 40 at
number 2.
In 2018, a wireless industry consortium called the U.S. Telecom Traceback Group notified the Enforcement Bureau that it had traceback information for over 23 million robocalls soliciting health insurance. The traceback group was formed as a result of the enactment of the 2019 Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement and Deference, or TRACED Act. A traceback is the tracing of an incoming call that goes through multiple voice provider networks until the originating voice provider or calling party is identified. The traceback group also determined that the robocalls included spoofed or otherwise fake caller ID information. According to the FCC, a group of companies collectively known as the Rising Eagle Capital Group, under the direction of John Spiller and Jacob Mears, made over 1 billion robocalls to American and Canadian consumers on behalf of its clients. The Enforcement Bureau took a subset of those 1 billion calls to determine if the calls were spoofed. The Bureau determined that Rising Eagle used 60 different caller IDs to make 113 million calls and had verified that 150,000 of those calls used one of the 60 spoofed caller IDs. The Bureau also confirmed that Rising Eagle made over 86 million robocalls to wireless phones, as well as over 56 million robocalls to numbers listed on the National Do Not Call Registry. In June 2020, the FCC issued a notice of apparent liability for $225 million against Rising Eagle for its apparent violations of the Truth in Caller ID Act. In March 2021, the commission sealed the deal with a forfeiture order for the same amount. 1 month later, Rising Eagle filed a petition for reconsideration. Rising Eagle claims the forfeiture should be reconsidered and rescinded because the commission has imposed this historic penalty for the content of the pre-recorded messages rather than the caller ID or the reason for the alleged spoofing, that there was no showing of Rising Eagle's intent to defraud or harm the consumers called, that the application of the statute to Rising Eagle's conduct was impermissibly constitutionally vague, and that the commission failed to examine all relevant factors when considering to reduce a proposed forfeiture. In today's order, the commission did uphold their findings that Rising Eagle did violate the Truth in Caller ID Act and that they intended to defraud consumers through misrepresentation of which insurance carriers were their clients. The commission also stated that Rising Eagle had adequate notice that they violated the Truth in Caller ID Act through the original NAL, and that the commission did consider all relevant factors when assessing the forfeiture amount. In today's action, the commission affirms that Rising Eagle did willfully and repeatedly violate the Truth in Caller ID Act by knowingly causing the display of inaccurate caller ID information with the intent to defraud, cause harm, or wrongfully obtain something of value. As a result, the FCC will not cancel or reduce the $225 million forfeiture. Just a reminder, if you are listening to this on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, please remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification dinger to be reminded of future content, both oral and visual. Thank you again for your support. In a separate action, the Enforcement Bureau sent a cease and desist letter to Avid Telecom LLC of Tucson, Arizona. In the letter, the Bureau advises Avid that the Traceback Group investigated pre-recorded telemarketing messages related to health insurance. At the time, Avid told the Traceback Group the calls were made to consumers who gave consent purportedly through opt-in web pages. While the letter itself does not carry a forfeiture, the Enforcement Bureau has warned Avid that if the calls continue, then the commission may allow other telecom providers to block all of Avid Telecom's traffic permanently. Remember, you can view and search our inventory of enforcement actions currently with data going back to the beginning of 2019 at recnet.com/dingers. The recovery to wireless networks continues in Guam, where in just one day, 17 of the 327 cell sites on Guam were restored. That leaves 116, or 36%, still down. Most sites are down due to lack of power. Of the 211 sites that are up, 124 are running on backup power. 397 cable and wireline customers have been reported as restored compared to the report issued 24 hours prior. No changes to broadcast station statuses. The Disaster Information Reporting System remains activated for Guam. The FCC took action today in the processing of applications for new non-commercial FM broadcast stations. In mutually exclusive application group 55, the FCC has dismissed the application of Key West Radio. The action was prompted by a petition to deny filed by Frequency Zero, one of the competing applicants in the MX group. Frequency's petition alleged that the articles of incorporation filed by Key West prior to the opening of the NCE filing window showed John Stebbins as a member, even though he was not disclosed as a party to the NCE application. John Stebbins, along with Peter Stebbins and one other person, were parties to 305 Community Radio, licensees of the former LPFM station WMIV-LP, Miami, Florida. In the WMIV case, the FCC determined that there were character issues and required all parties to WMIV to disclose on any future broadcast applications the letters received from the commission in the case that led to the surrender of WMIV-LP. In March 2023, Key West updated their corporation documents with the state to remove John's name, claiming it was a mistake. The FCC determined that Key West's update in 2023 is immaterial to the original construction permit filing made in 2021, as John was listed as an officer at that time. The Media Bureau stated that they will not allow a participant to simply disavow its duly adopted corporate articles and bylaws, claiming extra legal considerations in order to avoid adverse legal consequences, and to hold otherwise would establish a dangerous precedent. Frequency Zero has the least number of pending applications of the three remaining MX Group members and has been declared a tentative selectee in MX Group 55. REC Networks handled Frequency Zero's original construction permit application, but was not involved in the pleadings against Key West Radio. On Thursday, the FCC will conduct their June open meeting. In this meeting, the full commission will consider notices of proposed rulemaking to advance the transition of Next Generation 911, strengthen consumer consent for robocalls and robotexts, and explore shared use of the 42 gigahertz band. The commission will also consider a report and order and a subsequent notice of proposed rulemaking on accessibility to video conferencing services. The meeting will start at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time and will be streamed on YouTube and at fcc.gov/live. FCC Today, the podcast, has a comment line. Do you have an opinion about the topics discussed on the podcast, a question for me, or just general commentary about the FCC broadcasting or the telecommunications industry in general? Make your voice heard by calling 202-963-0852. Yes, that good old-fashioned thing called the telephone, 202-963-0852. Now write that down, 202-963-0852. It's easy to remember. That's 202. You know the area code where all the bureaucrats are. Then up the right side of the dial, 963. And then up the center, 0852. 202-963-0852. You may hear your voice on a future podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, has been a production of REC Networks, always on at recnet.com. The podcast is available through Podbean, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe to this channel. Hit the notification dinger to be informed of new episodes. Keep up to the minute with events around the Media Bureau at fcc.today. If you need assistance with an FM broadcast facility, LPFM, full service, or translator, call 202-621-2355. I'm Michelle Bradley, KU3N, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Thank you for listening.
REC.